Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 5 of season 3. This one's called The Bonding. It was directed by Weinrich Kolbe, written by Ronald D. Moore, and it aired back on October 23rd, 1989. In this episode, an Enterprise crew member is killed in a tragic accident, leaving a newly orphaned young son to deal with her death. So it's just going to be me talking about this one, I think. We've got a little bit of catch-up to do. I need to get through some episodes, so you're just going to be listening to me talking insanely into a microphone about The Bonding, and we're going to get to that right after this.
Commander, away team reporting in. Lieutenant Worf standing by.
This is Riker. Go ahead, Lieutenant.
The archaeologists have identified the markings in these caverns. This planet was apparently once home to a race known as the Koinonians.
What do we know about them, Data?
The Koinonians were an intelligent culture which became embroiled in a war that lasted for several generations. Our best evidence indicates they destroyed themselves.
We have completed our survey of the third tunnel and will proceed into the ceremonial chamber.
Affirmative. Enterprise out.
Destroyed themselves, Data?
According to historical records, this will be the first opportunity for a Federation team...
Captain! Beam them up, quickly!
Captain! Emergency beam up. Enterprise, emergency, severe injury.
Transporter room.
I've got them, Captain.
Beam them straight to sickbay. Dr. Crusher, incoming wounded.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We're going to start talking about The Bonding. It's just going to be me this time, so this will be a short episode, I think. I'll go over my initial thoughts, and then I'll follow it up with a little bit of critical reception or critical thought about what people who actually get paid to think about these things think. And so with that, let's get into The Bonding. You know, I don't think I've watched this one in a long time. It's one that always, the description, I think, sounds worse than the actual episode is. It's a pretty good one. It's very unique. It's probably mostly known for being Ron Moore's first script. Ron Moore, who would eventually write on Trek because of the strength of this episode, and eventually would go on to create the Battlestar Galactica remake, the modern one. He gets his first chance to dip his toe in the pool here with The Bonding. This is a spec script he wrote and managed to pass it on to Roddenberry's producer, or Roddenberry's assistant, who liked it and passed it along to the writing staff who hired him to write it. And then they brought him on full time. And it's an interesting episode. This is the one where a lieutenant on an away team under command of Lieutenant Worf, Lieutenant Worf is on an away team that has another lieutenant who's a science officer, who's killed by a booby trap explosion on this planet that they're exploring. And the fallout is that this woman had a child who is now an orphan because his father is also dead, and dealing with all of that sort of stuff. And I think this episode really splits into two parts. You have the first part, which is the death of the mother and then the sort of fallout. And the second half is sort of the Star Trek takeover of what they're doing, where an alien comes back, very a la Royale, an alien that can like create whatever people want appears and convinces the kid that the alien is the mother come back and she can be happy. They just have to go down to the planet and everything will be good. The first half of this episode is way, 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 way better than the second half. The second half is really sort of cliche. It feels like you've been there already. The lectures in the second half don't really go as well. Where the first half is really interesting because it's the first time I felt that Star Trek was actually getting drama correct, like 100% correct. There's a lot of great character scenes in the first half. For example, Riker and Data have a discussion in 10 Forward that I thought was really excellent. They discuss... Data doesn't really understand how or why the proximity of someone to you knowing them impacts you emotionally more when they die. That is, why do people feel worse when someone they know dies as opposed to someone else? As Data doesn't understand that, and Riker says that, you know, kind of has to sort of chuckle and agree that it doesn't really make a lot of sense. That's really a really, really, really strong scene. You know, it functions well for the Data character. The Data character actually gets to bring up something about humanity other than sort of why he aims to aspire, and sort of bring up a weird conundrum of ethics or morality, I guess, if you want to consider it. Really, really strong. The scene after that is Worf talking with Troi. Worf is upset about his inability to get revenge because this woman who was under his command who died to a alien race that was, you know, killed themselves out basically 1,000 years ago. And he, as he says, something along the lines of he can't get revenge against an enemy that turned to dust. And that's really awesome. It's great that Dorne gets a little chance to play a little bit more range. It's excellent. I think all of those scenes is another one early on. I think it's the Crushers have a scene. Wes and Dr. Crusher have a great scene where they talk about the Wesley Crusher's father when he passed away and if they still think about it. All these scenes are really, really, really strong. They're directed really well. A lot of close-ups on faces. A lot of subtlety to what people are talking about. Things are sort of out in the open, but the way that they're talking about them is very nice. It's very un-Star Trek-y. It's a little bit personal. It's not sledgehammering you over the head with what to think. It's giving two sort of different points of view, and you can figure out where you want to end up instead of the show telling you where you want to end up, which is always nice and always a sign of good writing. The direction is fairly impressive in the first half of these conversations. I think it's really, really fantastic. And I just loved all of those scenes. I think they're all really, really strong. It covers death in a way that the Tasha Yar Skin of Evil episode completely misses the mark. I guess that reviewing the backstory for this one, this is the first Michael Piller showrun episodes. And I guess he had a little bit of conflict with Roddenberry because Roddenberry figured that in the future, people would deal with death a lot better. So Roddenberry was pushing that the child would not react to the death in any way possible. And I think that's a huge problem with this episode. I guess Piller tried to sneak in as much as he could. He got a little bit in at the end. But Roddenberry's insistence that the child does not display any anger is probably one of the stranger things about this. And I'll get into that, I think, with the second half, which we might as well just start now. So the second half reverts to a Star Trek thing where an alien comes and is like, I'll make you, you know, I'll make you feel good. I'll promise you the world and I can create whatever you want. You just have to live with me and we'll make everything better. And the crew is saying, no, this kid needs to stay here. He needs to deal with his grief and all that stuff. It's much more Star Trek-y. It's not particularly strong. It's another alien that appears that can just sort of create things for you and creates a narrative out of its abilities to just transcend whatever materialistic things you have, and you can just create whatever and live in paradise, basically. And the crew is making the assumption that people would not want to live in paradise because they have the holodeck and people don't live on the holodeck, at least not yet. So the problem here, I think, is that the child actor, I think he's a decent enough actor. I don't want to pin this on the child actor. Child actors are generally not very good, in my opinion, anyway. It's a rare case that they are. But he's not allowed to show any emotion. He doesn't react to his mother's death in any way that makes sense. Everyone else around him seems more upset than he is. It doesn't work well. If the great drama of the first half is undone by this kid's reaction to things, and then the great drama of the first half is undone by this alien coming, the child basically becoming a pawn, and the crew having to battle, not literally, but battle sort of philosophically with this alien that they've encountered. The story shifts away from the kid. It shifts to Picard for some reason and shifts to Wesley, which is weird. The final scene has a bunch of lectures, you know, where everyone sort of realizes the folly of their way. And Wesley very interestingly exposes that he's angry at Picard because Picard led the away mission that Jack Crusher was killed on, which is kind of a shocking revelation. I didn't really remember it. It would have been great. It's not done very well because it doesn't affect Picard. Picard is very unreactive to it. He's pleased Wesley says it because it allows him to say that this kid is angry at Worf, which hadn't really been coming across. It kind of makes sense, but it was not the way that the relationship between Worf and the kid was played. It was the relationship between the kid and Worf was played more as if they don't understand each other. So the stuff that they draw at the end, these conclusions they draw, don't really ring true to me, which is not upsetting, but it's a little bit disappointing that that's the way it worked out. That said, I loved the Wesley reveal at the end. I thought that was fantastic. Wesley is actually given stuff to do in this one that makes sense with his backstory. That all works out really well. It's, you know, Worf gets point blanked at the end by the kid, and no one can understand. It's like, hey, Mr. Worf, do you understand why this kid hates you? And he says, yes, yes, yes. And Worf finishes the episode by completing the bonding, which is the ritual he's been trying to do with his kid, where I guess Klingon orphans are bonded to each other to become family at that point, to, you know, strengthen each other's families in the face of their parents dying or whatever happens. So Worf gets to light a bunch of candles that look strikingly similar to dildos, and him and the kids stand there in their Klingon vests and, you know, blow out the candles or whatever, and that's a Klingon bonding. And that's pretty much it. So let's get to my final thoughts here.
Jeremy, Wesley's father died on a Starfleet mission when he was younger than you are.
Wes, your mother told me you were finding it difficult to talk to Jeremy. Why is that?
I don't know. I just don't want to think about it anymore. All this has reminded me so much of that day.
The day I told you your father had been killed. As I recall, Wesley, you took it very well.
My parents had told me about the dangers of Starfleet missions. I knew it could happen.
So you were prepared?
No, I wasn't prepared at all. How can anyone be prepared to hear that a parent is never coming home again? I tried to be what everyone expected of me. Brave and mature.
Wesley, are you saying that you didn't want anybody to see what you were really feeling? Or what were you really feeling?
Like somebody had kicked me in the head.
Somebody.
Go on. You've wanted to tell him for a long time.
I was angry at you.
Why angry? Why were you angry at me, Wesley? Were you angry at me because I was the one who had told you your father was dead?
No.
Then why?
Because you led the mission. You came home and my father didn't.
How long were you angry with the captain, Wes?
For a long time. But not anymore, sir. Not even a little.
So, Jeremy, you must be very angry at Lieutenant Worf. He was in charge of your mother's mission, just as Captain Picard was in command when Wesley's father was killed. Isn't that right? Worf came back. Your mother didn't.
Why? Why weren't you the one who died? Why did it have to be her?
He can't answer that. None of us can.
Lieutenant Worf also lost his parents.
They were killed in battle when I was 6. When I was alone, humans helped me. Let me help you. The Marla Astor I knew and honored is not in this room, nor does she await you on the planet. She now only lives here and here. Join me in the Rustai, the bonding. You will become part of my family now and for all time. We will be brothers.
So my final thoughts for this episode are, I think it's a really, really strong dramatic piece that's undone a bit by Star Trek conventions. If the whole episode had been as good as the first part, or the first half, it would have been a solid 5, without any doubts. Unfortunately, the second half really undoes that. I think it's still a very solid, very good episode. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. you know, if the second half was a little bit better, if the kids, if the Roddenberry thing of no emotion hadn't derailed this kid's storyline, the child actor would have been fine. The Wesley stuff is really nice, but it doesn't amount to anything, unfortunately, at the end. It's just kind of brought in and sort of played to play on people's heartstrings a little bit, where Picard is not really fazed by this. It doesn't impact their relationship whatsoever. Picard just uses this information to get through to the kid. The alien is stupid. I didn't need the alien to come in. I understand why it has to be there, because otherwise you don't really have much drama with this kid. But it felt... it's too familiar for the show at this point, and it's not interesting enough. But I love the first half. I love those scenes. I love the Data scenes. I love the direction. I love how closely shot everything was. I love how the Crushers had their great scene. Worf had a great scene. Troy is good in this one. She's a little bit perfect in how she sets up how people are feeling, but she plays the Worf scene really well. And, you know, is a reliable examiner and sort of plot driver in this one, where she can explain things to people. It's good. I'd give this one a 4 out of 5. It's impressive work. It's understandable why they hired Ron Moore to come in after this. This one felt different from the rest of the season, and that's really interesting. So that's it, guys. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the content and you're listening on YouTube, a like or a comment's appreciated. If you're on iTunes, a rating, review, all that stuff. And I'm going to be back next time with Booby Trap, the Geordi LaForge episode. And so thank you again for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed the bonding. It's a fun episode. If you haven't seen it in a while, I highly recommend you go back and rewatch it. And I will be back in a couple days with Booby Trap. See ya.